shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
I've been concerned for several years now. It appears that no matter how much effort we as Christians try to exert in our country and around the world, we have a continuing decline in liberty and freedom, and an increase in iniquity and violence and bloodshed. And there has to be a reason more than just coincidence. And the Bible speaks, I believe, in the book of Isaiah and several other places, that as we near the end of this age, there would be another rise of wickedness caused by demonic spirits, very much like it was before the flood of Noah. In fact, Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be with us. The Rephaim is actually were created during the time prior to the flood. The flood was brought into being, according to chapter 6 of Genesis, because of the great mixing of, first of all, by mixing of plants and animals, and then eventually humans, and humans being mixed in their racial and genetic makeup with super beings called the sons of God, or the angels, the demonic angels that had rebelled against God and were following Satan. And to them was born giants. And we see that some of those giants, of course, their offspring survived after the flood. That's why I personally believe in a localized flood instead of a worldwide flood. But we know that Goliath was one. He had five brothers, and they were descendants of those people. But the offspring of the giants were basically killed by the flood, and they were the cause of the flood. And the thing was that these angels had an eternal spirit that could not be killed by water, and that spirit was cast into the deep or into the bottom of the ocean. We see them surfacing later on in the scriptures again in several places. But these were evil people who had great powers, had great knowledge, and they were able to do wickedness that exceeded that was previously known among humans and mankind, and especially Adam kind. And we see that it was because of this crossbreeding that violence became the standard of the time. And the Bible says in Genesis that God looked and saw that the violence was great, the bloodshed was great. We know there are several other authors and historical books that record the violence of the day. It was because these angels, these fallen angels, went into the sons of men and daughters of men, and they had offspring, and they were odd creatures. They were, the Bible uses the word renown, and they were people who had a super mental power as well as some physical powers. And today the world is being run by people who have a similar type of abilities. And people in high places, especially in the monetary world, the financial world, right now all over the world, there's preparation among the banking cartels that over 170 some nations are going to revalue their dollars and their money. And, of course, the bankers will be the ones that will reap the great benefit out of all of this. The United States is involved, and we're going to see some very, very tough times come, and there's going to be increasing violence. We've seen things that are just horrible that we don't know how to define. We don't know how to account for them. For instance, in the South, I think in Florida, the media has made a big deal out of this Trayvon Martin case because supposedly they're alleging that a white man shot a black man, but they don't make any case out of this little white baby that was shot in the crib by a black boy, a black man, and it was an unusual situation. We have on videotape kids running through the night beating up some homeless people and killing them. Stabbing and killing and pillaging. We have an unusual uproar of violence and war all over the world. And these are things that are being propagated by a power that is unseen and unknown and unheard, and we're unfamiliar with. And I believe that it speaks of the rise of these Rephaim. They were created during the flood time. That's when they came.
Do you believe that the evil world leaders are consciously at the higher levels cooperating with these demonic spirits?
Yes, I do. I believe that in the United Nations, most people don't know that on the top floor of the United Nations is a chapel that is very similar to the one that was being built in Babel, in Tower of Babel. That was destroyed by the Lord, and people were scattered, and it was stopped. But the satanic worship among the high leaders of the world and the Masonic world is well known, and the leaders of the world all seem to belong to the same club and have the same religious following, no matter what they may call themselves, whether they're Catholics or Christians or Jews or Muslims, whatever they are, they all have the same satanic force that drives them, and they have goals which are similar. And they're not afraid to use whatever power they have at their disposal to destroy as many people as they want to destroy. And I think it's no secret that they have plans to destroy a lot of people. And right now in the United States, we're fighting for our survival as a people of God, because our president and people in power, probably the people behind him, very much like South Africa, when Mandela came to power, it was people behind him who were the real power, and they were the people being directed and led by spirits that were evil. And that's what's happening today, and they're trying. I believe that there will be a great attempt to try to take away our guns and our weapons, our way of defense, and our possessions. I think that's exactly where they're headed.
Well, they certainly have changed a lot since when we were young. The world's much more evil as far as not only mass killings and stuff like that, but just everything that's being promoted today: race mixing, homosexuality, and just you name it.
Absolutely, and the one driving force before the flood that is given not only in the scriptures but in many of the other books that record that era is that they had a uncontrollable and unrestricted sexual freedom, and that included what you're talking about, sodomy. And there was really no push for marriage and production of a family. And that's why we're in trouble today, is that we don't have any women who want to be mothers much anymore. I don't want to say that totally. There are some, of course. But this country was built and founded on the concept that a woman would have children, and she would be the force of the home and guiding light in the education of the children, and the moral upbringing along with the father who would oversee it, and there would be a work ethic. But we don't have that anymore. Everybody wants to have an easy life and lots of money and live in pleasure. And that's a sign of a concept that is not of God, but is of an evil force. And that was the same concept that was part of society before the flood.
Of course, it's being pushed by the Antichrist in the movies and the TV and in the classroom.
Well, obviously, it's amazing to me that Christians can't understand that sending their children off to daycare and off to public schools is going to permanently mentally prepare them to do and to be either doers of evil, or they will be tolerant of evil. And the greatest tool that they're being taught today is don't stand for anything. Don't say anything that you have a conviction about anything. So here we have the wieners of the world in New York City and people like that running for office, and people don't think anything about it. They think that's okay. Well, a man whose morals are that degenerate, there can't be possibly be anything good from that man as far as governing in the country. And we've got way too many of them in our Congress and Senate on a federal level and even on the state level.
Unfortunately, a lot of the churches aren't much better. They don't have any standards anymore.
Well, that's true, because the churches have thrown out the law of God. They say we're not under the law of God. The law of God is not supposed to be used today. They don't want any of the law of God to be used in the courts. They don't want it to be the law of the land. Yet the Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect. And that's the only perfect law we've got, is the law of the Lord. And yet this country was built on it, was made prosperous on it, and was preached regularly in the churches up until probably 50, 60, 70 years ago. When I was a kid, there was still a lot of the law of God taught in the churches. But I'm getting up into the 70s, and people my age, where we go to a church today, and I'm sad to say that I've visited probably 100 churches around the country, many here, some in South Carolina, some in Florida, over the past few years, and I have yet to hear but one preacher. I heard one preacher preach against name sin and preach the law of God and how to violate it and make sin, because the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. But out of 100 churches that I have visited, only one ever preached anything about sin and name sin. Of course, many preachers will get up in the pulpit and say you shouldn't sin, but they leave it up to everybody to define what sin is. But the Bible is very clear that sin is a violation of the laws of God. And we've just been running away from the law of God as fast as we can for the last 50 or 60 years, and people don't seem to understand that you can't have peace, prosperity, and those kind of things without the law of God. No law, no righteousness, no holiness, then there's no safety and there's no peace and there's no liberty.
It seems like the enemy of our race reads the Bible and then does everything just the opposite of what it teaches.
Well, our greatest enemies are people who are of a cursed race and cursed seed, and of course they know the Bible better than we do. And they know that God has said in his word that if his people did not obey him, that he would withdraw their blessing and he would cause them to reap judgment. And so it's like if you were my enemy and I knew that somebody over you would punish you if I got you to do something that violated his rules, then it would be in my interest to get you to violate the rules. And that's what they do. They know what to use to get God's people to violate the laws of God so that God will withdraw his blessings and withdraw his protection. I believe that America was led by the Rephaim, who control the media, who control the movie and entertainment industries, who control the governments and the money of the world. And when I say that, I don't mean every person is a reefium. I don't believe that. I believe that they're high up. I believe that they come into this world in the form of, if they're seen, they're called flying saucers or some kind of alien. some people say, well, these are aliens or people from other planets. Well, the Bible says that in Amos, the prophet said, if God was going to do anything of any magnitude, he would let his people know through the prophets. Well, we don't have anybody in the prophets. We don't have anywhere in the Bible where it talks about people coming from foreign planets or coming from outer space to live and influence this world. But we do have lots of warnings about the reefium and the evil spirits. The Lord ran into them when he was here. In one particular case, we talk about the man of the Gadarene, and he was a demonic. They called him a demonic. When Jesus came into his area, he came out and said, Lord, I know who you are. You're the Son of God. Why are you here? Are you here to take care of us or to destroy us before our time? They knew that it wasn't time for their time to be up. And yet they looked at him and said, why are you here? Are you going to bother us? And the Lord asked the man what his name was. The Spirit said, Legion, there are many, many of us in this man. And the Lord commanded them out. And they said, don't cast us into the bottom of the sea or into the abyss or into the deep. And so he cast them into the pigs, and they ran into the lake and died. But we believe, and I believe, that the reefium live under the sea. That's where they've been bound in their chains of darkness. and the only reason they're getting out, well, we can only speculate. We don't know for sure. But we know that in 1954, the United States Atomic Energy Commission did a lot of testing over in the Marshall Islands. And that is the known area that was set aside in scriptures for the reefium to be buried, the place where they were in the bottom of the sea. And if those underwater tests broke out their habitation, they may have been loosed. And we've got several sightings by ships who have seen these flying saucers come up out of the ocean, go down in the ocean. They've seen several disc-like formations go into the ocean or be under the ocean. So there is some evidence that this is where these reefium are, and they come out and traverse the earth. In fact, when the angels of the Lord came before the Lord in Job, and the Lord said, well, Satan showed up with them. And probably some of his angels. And he asked them, where have you been? And he said, the King James Version says, going to and fro upon the earth. But in the Farrar Fenton translation, which I believe is a little more accurate, says, we have been flying over the earth, to and fro over the earth. And so these flying saucers are beings which I believe are satanic. I believe that they have been in contact with the leaders of the world, and I believe that they influence them and in many cases inhabit them. And that's what we're dealing with in this lifetime.
Well, it's certainly promoted a lot in recent years, the UFOs, and they're always the savior of mankind, going to give us great technology and going to have peace on the earth, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, not only that, but at the same time, we have an increase in things like, more recently, vampires and stuff like that. They're pushing everything evil.
Absolutely. And, of course, if I was the devil and I wanted people to except me when I showed up strangely like a UFO, I'd want people to think I was there to help them and to give them great technology and be their savior and all of these things. But I personally don't believe that. I believe that they are evil. I believe that they are not from another planet. I believe that they're satanic. And I believe that we're seeing a great increase in this satanic influence in the world, and that's why we have so many wars. That's why we have so much going on in the media to promote evil, and it's playing out in our society. And it's just that God's people have not done what they're supposed to do. God is not going to bless or destroy a nation based on the wickedness of the wicked, but he's going to bless them or protect them based on the righteousness of the righteous. And when the righteous cease to be righteous, there's no reason for him to bless them. And of course, most people don't realize that in FDR's day, back in the 30s, is when they reversed the immigration policy of this country. Up until that time, 90% of all the immigration was white European Christians, and white immigration, and 10% was non-white. And in that, and under his administration, they reversed it. And we've been importing 90% non-white and 10% whites from that time to this time. And now we don't even go by the immigration quotas. We just open up the border and let them run in at any speed they want to come. And we've got millions in this country that are from a different race. And Adam was the white man, and Adam was the man whom God gave the gift of building and running governments. In fact, the government of God upon this earth was his task. He was to have dominion and to set up God's government on the world and bring about order and prosperity for all. And that's why Jesus came. He said, I came to preach the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom. Well, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the government of God. And we're supposed to be building the government of God, but we can't even get preachers to teach the government of God in the churches, let alone in the everyday life or in the governments anymore. We're falling right into the trap of setting up the government of Satan, and that's what we have.
The Adamic race has the spiritual capacity, if their spirit's been quickened, to hear the voice of Yahweh, our God. And the other races, they can know him as creator, but they'll never know him as father, and they'll never operate on that spiritual level. I'd like to mention here that you wrote a book called Racial Difference More Than Skin Deep, which we happen to publish, and it goes into great detail on this subject, and something that most people don't know. They can get it from us. We ask a donation of $8. It's an excellent book, too, that delves more into this subject.
Yes.
Also, I wanted to give you an opportunity here to give some contact information to the listeners, anybody who'd like to contact you.
All right. Well, they can write me at Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Or they can email me, go to my website. Really, the easiest way for them to contact me is to go to my website at www.evertramseydd.com. And I've got a place on every page where they can fill it out, and I'll get an email, and I'll get back to them, and we can converse or whatever. I get many contacts off of there on a weekly basis, so that's the easiest way. But if they want to write me, they can write me at Faith Baptist Church, Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. But I'd like to add also that on that the book you advertised there is good, and I hope people will get it because it does talk about that. But if people are wondering if it's a new concept to people about having the spiritual ability to commune with God, and not everybody has it, you have to go into John 8 if you like, and you'll find where Jesus was talking to some of these people who were kind of a mongrel race, and they were they had gotten themselves into the Jewish positions, and they had taken over much of the temple, and some of the they were Pharisees and scribes and so forth. And Jesus spoke directly to them and said to them that the reason they could not hear him was that they did not have a place in them for the Word of God. And that is the spirit capacity. If you are not genetically born from the Adamic race and have a spirit ability, a spirit vessel within you to hold the Word of God, you can't hear the Word of God. And when people intermarry and produce children interracially, they're producing people who cannot hear and maintain the Word of God. there's a black preacher in New York City in Harlem called Manning, and he dealt with that himself. He even said that God did not give to the black race the ability to build and maintain the governments of a free people and build nations. They were not given the ability to build nations. Only God's people were given that ability. And so that's why we have the violence that we have in so many of these non-white-led countries. If you go back to Africa, South Africa, Nigeria, the Congo, Uganda, many of those nations were set up and had people from Britain and Dutch, Holland, and from the Europe who led those countries, and they were prosperous. but the communists came in, and these evil workers, and threw out the white leadership and put in the black leadership, and they went out and killed the farmers and raped their women, and now they're hungry. They want somebody to feed them. And the same thing's happening in America. We now have a black man that is destroying the basis of prosperity for this country. And you can't put in power in the Supreme Court people of Hispanic, Latino, black, Oriental backgrounds and expect them to maintain a free country. It isn't going to happen. And you can't put them in judgeships, and you can't put them in Congress, and you can't put them in the legislature, and you can't put them in law enforcement. You can't put them in places where they're going to be leaders. The Lord made it very clear to his people that we are to put people in power who know him and know how to build a nation and to preserve liberty. And that's why we're in a lot of trouble. In fact, we're so far in, I'm not sure that without a personal involvement of the Lord God, I'm not sure we'll ever recoup.
I believe that. Speaking of that, what about, you've talked about UFOs being bodies for these demonic spirits, but we're told over in 2 Kings, for instance, about Elijah praying that his servants' eyes would be opened and showed that they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. When his eyes were opened, he saw, among other things, chariots of fire, which could be considered UFOs. So would you see a heavenly force, perhaps led by the Archangel Michael, that would be the good UFOs, if, for lack of a better term?
Well, yes, I understand what you're saying. And I personally, and again, I'm not willing to bet my life on it, but my concept based on what I know at this point in time is that the UFOs are generally the bad guys, and the good guys that you're talking about, yes, they usually, like you said, had chariots of fire. Maybe they were similar to a UFO. I personally am not convinced that was the case, but I believe that they're there, and I believe that as long as God's people are in their backslidden condition, they're not going to see that force visibly come to our aid. Now, they may come to our aid when we don't know it. And my contention is that the tsunami that took place several years ago over in the Middle East was caused by these angels of the Lord. And I believe that even Katrina, to some degree, was caused by the angel of the Lord. And many of the other significant things that have basically has destroyed the people who would be our enemies more than those who would be our friends. And so I think the Lord is certainly working in the background. But I do believe at the end, when the Lord comes, and if you read Ezekiel 37 through 39, you read about this, as well as in a few other places, And he talks about the mighty ones, the powerful ones, even in Isaiah, that when this end time comes and Satan makes his last stand, that he's actually going to make it pretty tough on us as Christians. But before we're destroyed, the Lord's not going to allow his remnant to be destroyed, that the mighty ones of the Lord will come in that day and will fight. I have a verse in mind that I was thinking about. In Isaiah 13, it says, I have commanded my consecrated ones. I have summoned my warriors, my proudly exalting ones, to execute my anger, hark, a tumult on the mountains, like that of a multitude of people, hark, the uproar of the kingdoms of nations assembled. The Lord of hosts is mustering a battle host. They come from a distant land, from the end of the heavens, and the Lord and his weapons of wrath to destroy the whole earth wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and the destruction from the Almighty will it come. So I do believe that we are going to see these people you're talking about, this hidden army that has shown up on the earth in various times. You know, even though I don't believe necessarily George Washington was a saint, I certainly think he was a tool God used to help establish this country. And we know that there are stories that he was surrounded by Indians, and they didn't attack him when he was alone praying. And a few years later, when he was president, the chief of the tribe came to see him, and George Washington asked him why they didn't kill him. And he said, because you had too many white-clad soldiers on white horses surrounding you. We didn't have an army big enough. Well, George Washington didn't see them. Nobody else saw them, but these Indians saw them. And they kept the Indians from killing him. So I'm sure that these angels have shown up on many occasions and will again. But we're going to see more and more of the flying saucer Rephaim and their powers in these next few months and years ahead. And so we need to learn to walk with God so that we can depend on his power and his presence.
I know we have a tape by Pastor Compre on divine protection in our day, and mm-hmm. it mentions some of the miracles, including during World War I and World War II, where these right. white armies were protecting the troops. Certainly we do have the hosts of heaven on our side, or we're on their side, I guess I should say.
The key is us being on their side. I think you're right.
Certainly, I think that this is a reason that we shouldn't fear. There's so many people that know the truth or some of the truth, and they're fearful to say it. Now is when they should be speaking out against the evil and doing what they can to oppose it.
Well, you're right. I agree with you. And we all tend to shy away from speaking out because we know the powers that be try to impugn and try to punish people who speak the truth because it's not popular and it's not pro Obama administration. And it's not pro evil and it's not pro considered pro tolerance. So a lot of people won't take a stand. And it's by our speaking the truth and the power of the Lord that causes us to have a winning strategy and a winning strategy for freedom and liberty. Our liberties have been washed away because people refuse to stand up and do what's right. I know that when we started our Christian school without state licensure and that in Nebraska, that we were accused of trying to stir up trouble. We were accused of... I remember several parents saying, well, what you're doing is telling us that we're wrong by sending our kids to the public school. And I said, well, we've never said that. And they said, well, you don't have to. And so we know that when people do right, stand up and say what's right and be right, it's going to bring conviction to those who are doing wrong that are God's people.
That includes the pastors of these denominational churches. I know that it's very hard for people to find, if they want to be married without a state license, a pastor that will do it, you know,
Absolutely.
Conduct the ceremony.
Yeah, I had a family here just a month ago that they're trying to get their pastor to marry them without the state license, and he won't do it. And it's terrible. People don't understand that the church married people without a state license for years and years and years in this country. And the state license is a relatively new thing compared to the history of our country. So, yes, and you can't get preachers to take a stand against sin. They won't stand up and preach publicly against homosexuality or sodomy, and they won't preach against, they do try to say something about abortion, but that's becoming even an issue. And I see now that there's a church in Florida that has been sued because they refuse to have allowed their church to be used for a homosexual marriage. Well, we've predicted that for years, that if they're incorporated 501c3 churches, they are going to be brought down to the point where they're going to be trashed. And the churches that are taking these 501c3s are incorporated and tax-exempt and all of that, they're subject to the whim and will of the government. And just because they haven't been sued yet, I've had preachers tell me, well, they haven't bothered me yet. And I usually say, well, that's because you're not Christian enough yet. They don't take a strong enough stand on sin. That's the problem.
Not just the regular denominational preachers, but just the other day I heard one of the so-called conservative pastors who was actually leading a movement that was actually good against homosexuality and so on. But when a liberal talk show host started to ask him questions, what he would like to do, he hemmed and hawed around and certainly didn't know the laws of the Bible.
Right. Well, that's true. We don't have very many who have a strong witness these days. And obviously, I don't know that we as Christians should necessarily debate with these wicked hosts on TV. Most of them are satanic, and most of them are under the influence of these reefium to some degree. And they're going to be given super mental powers to combat us. Now, doesn't mean that we shouldn't trust the Lord and take a strong stand and speak up when we have the opportunity. But I remember several years ago, Jerry Falwell debating Flint, who was, I think he was the editor of Penthouse or some porno magazine. And I listened to that debate, and the truth of the matter is, Flint put him to shame. And Jerry Falwell was normally an intelligent, very strong debater. Obviously, he was wrong on a lot of things that you and I would agree today. But I just think that we have to be careful. The Lord says in Proverbs that you're not supposed to debate a fool, and then it says that you should debate them. So I guess there's a place for it, but we need to be careful when we do that.
You know, as you mentioned, there's a lot of demonic activity taking place today, but I was wondering just how intense you see it in the future. What do you expect to take place in the future?
What I see happening in the future is that more and more, especially of our younger generation, who do not have a strong Bible education, they've not been trained by their parents. They have no loyalty to their parents. They have no loyalty to the church. They have no loyalty to God. These children, this generation is going to be very, very much more open to demonic activity as far as pleasure and money. Those are the two things that this generation is going to be snatched up by. And if they can't get what they want in that area, they'll wind up over in the drug area But it'll be a total wipeout. And the other place that I see the demonic activity will be in the government crackdown on all kinds of any kind of witness or testimony about Jesus Christ. Right now, in America, there's already a movement to try to outlaw any public use of the word Jesus Christ in any public arena, anywhere. There's a group that is moving in that direction, and they're seeking to get government court action and legal action to pass laws that you cannot use the word Jesus Christ or the Bible in a public arena. Now, they're a long ways away from getting it done today, but the way these people have been successful in the past is once they've started, these demonic powers seem to somehow have a means of raising the money and giving them the right people in the right places to cause these things to come to pass. So I believe that Christians are going to face more persecution, more confiscation of their assets and property, and possibly more jail time and more more confinement. And I see
probably,
that happening within a very short time.
I was going to say probably laws a lot like they have now in Europe, where you can't speak against race mixing, you can't speak against homosexuality. Yeah. In fact,
right.
They even order the pastors to perform homosexual marriages there. Canada's not much better either.
No, you're right. And that's what I'm talking about. Right now, if a church refuses to perform a sodomite marriage, they're already starting several cases now in the courts, and it'll work its way up to the Supreme Court, and eventually the Supreme Court is going to say that no church, no religion can discriminate against anybody. So that's why you're going to have to get away from the state marriage license. If you make a general rule in your church that you don't marry anybody by state law, that you don't have any weddings as defined by state statute, then you can get away with it. Because that's why Christians can get married by covenant or contract, and they don't have to have a state marriage license. You don't have to have a state marriage license. There's no state that says you have to have a state marriage license to be married. What they do say is if you want a state marriage that can be divorced and they can have a say in your children, then you got to have a state marriage license, and the churches are not allowed to perform those with any kind of discrimination. So that's what's going to come about.
Well, of course, the issue is who's sovereign, God or the state?
Well, I agree, but the point is the state is going to be sovereign over its licenses. If you don't use their license, then you don't, you know, somebody told me the other day, well, you can get arrested for performing a marriage of a man and a woman if you don't use a state marriage license. I said, why? They don't even recognize it. The states have always said, we don't recognize anybody's marriage that is not with a state marriage license. So I said, if they don't recognize it, what I do in my church with a man and a woman to get them married is not any different than a man and a woman moving in together and not have any kind of ceremony from the state's point of view. So they don't prosecute people for living together. And so if I want to have prayer and they make vows to God in the privacy and not put any license together from the state and no authority from the state, then as far as the state's concerned, they just moved in together. And they're not going to prosecute anybody. So that's the problem, is sovereignty of liberty and freedom and the scriptures is under God. If you want to go with licenses by the state, if you want the state to be sovereign, then you take one of their licenses. That's the way to make them sovereign.
I know we have a certificate that's the covenant of holy matrimony with the traditional vows on it.
Yeah,
and
good.
It can be posted in the courthouse as a public notice. This is what has taken place, but you don't ask permission from the state to get married.
Yeah, no, that's great. No, there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. And there are some pastors in the country, thank God, that does that, but there are not very many.
I'd like to invite our listeners. I realize we don't have our toll-free numbers tonight. We have less than 10 minutes left. And if you would like to send an email to ask Pastor Ramsey a question, you can email me at mike@kingidentity.com, K-I-N-G-I-D-E-N-T-I-T-Y, which is our website also. And I'll give you an opportunity again to give your contact information.
If you want to get a hold of me, the best way to do it is to go to my website at www.everettramseydd.com and go to any page, and somewhere on that page you'll have a form you can fill out and send in any question or any comment. And if you don't do a web, a lot of people don't do web. If you don't do the web and you want to get a hold of me, the best way is to write me at Faith Baptist Church, Post Office Box 18, Houston, Missouri, 65483. Those are the two best ways to get a hold of me.
We appreciate you being on tonight. Do you have any last thoughts? We still have some time left here.
Well, no, that's fine. I do thank you for allowing us to come on. And one thing I do, this little booklet I put out on the Reefium, if anybody wants a copy of it, they can have it free. All they need to do is go on my website or write me and ask for it. And everything we've talked about is in the booklet. And it went out as one of my monthly mailings, so if people want to get my mailings each month free, they just need to go to the website and ask for it or write me. And we'll send it free as long as we can. And if we get to the place where we need more funds to help publish it and get it out, we'll just write you and tell you that we're not going to be able to send it free. And if you want to send some money in to help pay for it, that's fine. But we put out, we're doing a commentary on the life of Christ, the Gospels right now. And also I'm sending out, have been sending out Raymond E. Capps CDs to many people on antiquities. I usually do a CD of my own, but I haven't been able to do that recently. My wife's been very ill, and she's in a nursing home, and I have quite a bit of responsibilities there, so I haven't been able to do that, but I hope to get back to that soon. But this little booklet called Invasion of the Reefium, if anyone wants it, just get a hold of me, and I'll see that you get it. Give me your address, and I'll send it to you.
I believe you preached a sermon on it, too. Didn't I see somewhere a reference to a CD?
Yes, there it is on CD, too, yes. And if they want that, I'd be glad to send them the CD. I've got a lot of CDs. We've got different commentary. Most of my ministry is exposition of the Scriptures. I throw in a few sermons now and then, but most of mine is just going through the books of the Bible. I've gone through much of Isaiah. We've gone through now a good portion of the Gospels. We've done the parables. We've done Genesis and several other books of the Bible over the years. So we try to get those out each month with a booklet and a CD. We can do a cassette tape. We don't like to do them. They're an extra step for us, but if you have to have them, sometimes people want to see the tape because they can stop it and rewind it and listen to it. But whatever we have that we can help you with, we'll be glad to help you.
One thing that's certainly an emphasis in your newsletter, and I think it's very important because I've seen miraculous healing and so on, is prayer. You know, with all this demonic activity, we need not only prayer, but the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And would you like to comment on what we can do from a righteous side to oppose this demonic activity?
Well, of course, first of all, I think we have to be oppose it on a personal level, first of all. That's the first place we start. And to do that, we need to know the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. We have to be committed to Him. We have to ask Him to forgive us our sins. And, of course, we should follow Him in baptism. And then pray for His anointing and His filling and renewing of our minds through the Scriptures. We should immerse ourselves in studying the Scriptures. I know that it's very difficult for people sometimes when they read the Bible to understand a lot of it. It's something that is written in such a fashion that you don't get a lot of the meaning, but it's good just to read. I would suggest you read the Gospel of John and the Psalms and the Proverbs and Romans. Those are the books that I would recommend, first of all. And then second of all, is I would try to find people who share the similar beliefs and at least on occasion get together and have prayer meetings and discuss the scriptures. I know that my booklets and CDs are used by several people around the country who have Bible studies in their homes, and they get together once a month, and they either listen to the CDs or they get together on a weekly basis and discuss the commentaries that I put out and the Bible studies. And then they talk about ways locally. Now, I'm working on another thing that we did years ago. I don't know if we're going to get it done. I don't know if it's the Lord's will that we complete it. I've felt burdened to do it. I don't have time to spend a lot of time on it, but we had the Courts of Divine Justice, and I feel like that there needs to be a revival of those Courts of Divine Justice that we had years ago. And they were effective. God used them in a miraculous way. We saw judges removed from benches and attorney generals removed from office. We saw the Lord took some lives in some cases of judges that were stubborn and arrogant. And we saw a lot of things, a lot of victory in those courts of divine justice. So I'm praying about it. I'm talking to other ministers and trying to find out if we can get these going again. And there needs to be a national group activity among God's people, and that's the way I see it happening.
I agree completely. I've had thoughts on this subject before. One thing that disappointed me was some men that I thought would give righteous judgment in the case of somebody coming to a court of divine justice for, you know, a decision.
Mm-hmm.
They were, to a certain extent, followed Yahweh's law, but if they had a personal problem in their own family, sometimes they would leave that law and and just judge from their head.
I understand, and my greatest disappointment was we had too many people who wanted to use the courts of divine justice for the wrong reasons, for vengeance. They wanted it to be a vengeance tool, or they wanted it to be a payback tool to somebody, and that just isn't what it's for at all. So, but I'm giving some thought to it, and I'm asking God to provide the funds that we need to make it work if He wants us to do it. So we'll see what God does.
Well, I'd like to thank you for being our guest tonight. We have less than 1 minute left, and I'd invite people to contact you. You can give your website again, and our contact information will be given at the end of this broadcast.
All right. I would just encourage people to go to www.EverettRamsey.com and fill out the form on there and punch send, and it'll come to my desk. So that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
It's been a very informative broadcast tonight.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA, or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.